it was about a year ago today that I discovered these two ladies talking about what they offer different businesses as far as brain health, mental wellness, and just creating a culture of connectedness. And so I was like, whenever I heard these ladies speaking, I just knew, like, this is exactly the type of content and the caliber of speakers that I need to book for our people at Restoring Hope for our events. And so I am so honored today to have Bailey Pyle. She is the Be Well Initiatives Director and also more recently a podcast creator for Brain Health Besties. And I've got the opportunity to listen to some of that, some great content. So, Bailey, I would love for you to just start to tell us a little bit about yourself, but also, like, what are you most passionate about?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. There's so many directions I could go.
Yeah.
So just about me, I am by trade. I'll start with my human doing part of myself. I am a licensed professional counselor. I've had 13 years in the mental health field doing individual therapy with kiddos and adolescents, and then more recently coming into the preventative mental health, mm-hmm. brain health space. So I've been doing that for a while. As a human, just being, the things that I love are, I love any time I get to spend with my family, especially out in nature. Mm-hmm. Anything outdoors is always kind of where you can find me. I'm a chaotic creative by nature. Mm-hmm. So I tend to be in about 7 different projects at one time.
Yep.
rarely finishing anything,
yep.
but with my hands and lots of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm a lifelong learner. Anytime mm-hmm. I can learn new things, how to do something, learn something interesting, I'm mm-hmm. all in it.
Yeah.
When it comes to what I'm passionate about, I think the easiest way to answer that would be connection. On the Clifton StrengthsFinder, connector is my number one. Awesome. But it goes beyond just like connection to human beings. Mm-hmm. I love feeling a part of something greater. I think that's why I love nature. Mm-hmm. Only a therapist would have a favorite feeling, but my favorite feeling is awe. Like yeah. that sensation Ooh. Of being
That's good.
Both a teeny tiny thing, but also part of something really big mm-hmm. and amazing is mm-hmm. kind of my happy place, my favorite place to be.
That's so neat. And it's interesting because my number three is connectedness. So I can totally relate to so much of what you're saying. And then also just like having 7 projects going on, uh-huh. But really having a hard time just finishing, focusing on one thing and just getting it done.
Yeah.
But I'm also an achiever is my first one. So I have to have my to-do list. My husband like teases me, like even on my day off, I have a to-do list. Yeah. There's goals I have set every single day of things I want to get done, but anyway, I love the connected piece. I can totally relate to that. And I love that that's who you are and what you're all about. So I'd love to know about the Be Well initiatives. How did that get started and how long have you been part of that?
Yeah. Oh, we sort of lovingly joke on our team. We call 4 and about 5 years ago, uh-huh. In the midst of the pandemic, actually right as everything was about to be shut down and closed down. Mm-hmm. Our leadership at Burl Behavioral Health came to 4 brilliant female psychologists. None of them were me, not toting on myself. However, he came to them and just said, our folks are frontline staff. They're going to continue to serve the community, but they're going to need to be cared for it at the same time. Mm-hmm. So kind of in a way that only the pandemic could make happen, they stopped doing everything else they were doing.
Yeah.
And spent a week saying, okay, what are the best things about therapy, the best evidence-based practices that we can bring to people outside of the 4 walls of therapy that mm-hmm. don't necessarily have to stay in the therapeutic space? And within a week, Be Well was created with some of those evidence-based practices with the goal of how teaching people how to care for their brains. Mm-hmm. And then the woman that ended up being the vice president of Be Well Initiative said, hey, if we're going to do this for our people, there's really no reason why we can't also do it for the community
right.
too.
Yeah.
So they launched internally. We fumbled through Zoom mm-hmm. and did a 30-minute Zoom meeting every day for our staff. And wow. then a 30-minute on Facebook Live for the community as a whole, just mm-hmm. teaching people how to care for their brains. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it's been ever evolving.
Yeah.
I came in So at the very beginning, because they were doing the 30-minute meetings once a day, mm-hmm. they sort of put a call out to the entire system and just said, you are, you know, you have any talents or well-being tips that you want to share? And mm-hmm. my background is in art therapy. Mm-hmm. That's where I have been clinically trained.
Yeah.
And so I said, I would love to get some grownups doing art. And then kind of guest spotted a few times on there. And after uh-huh. about a year, they're like, how do you feel about being on the team permanently? And uh-huh. I'm like, yes, please.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I stumbled into it. The beautiful thing about Be Well is it's forever evolving. We mm-hmm. try to meet the moment in the best ways possible mm-hmm. and show up in ways that are meaningful for people.
Right. And there is always a need, especially for people that care for other people, to look at caring for themselves in deeper ways, because you pour out, mm-hmm. you have to be poured back into. So.
Yeah.
I think that's beautiful that you guys started offering that to the community. And I'm so glad I stumbled upon you and you were able to speak to our people as well. And that was actually my next question was going to be how it has evolved. So you hit on that for us. So I think what I would like to dig into now is more about this new endeavor of yours, mm-hmm. the Brain Health Besties. Which I think, if I'm correct, it's been around for about 3 months.
Since May.
And I just have to start by saying how much I love your logo. I noticed that, like, I thought, oh, that's really cute. And then I looked at it a little bit closer. I'm like, oh, my goodness. So if you're listening to this, you need to check them out, Brain Health Besties. It's basically, there's a B that's mirrored or inverted, and then an H in the middle, and then another B. That it kind of looks like a butterfly, but it also like resembles a brain.
Yeah.
And so I just love that. It's so cool. It's so beautiful. So kudos to whoever created that.
Our design team. Oh my God. Shout out to Robbie. He is brilliant. And I could brag on him forever, but did such an intentional job of just meeting our team and asking questions and trying to get a feel for who we are and how we wanted that to show up through the podcast mm-hmm. and just put his whole soul into it and reflected ours back, and it was brilliant.
Well, it was spot on. So I just had to share that. I love that. You guys did such a good job with that. So just tell us more about Brain Health Besties and what's your goal for the podcast? What do you hope that listeners get out of listening into that?
Yeah. Well, like I said, Be Well is sort of always evolving. Mm-hmm. And something that we kept hearing over and over from people is they love, because for a while we were still doing the times where we had to meet with our staff and meet with the community virtually. Mm-hmm. And we kept getting this feedback of like, we love Be Well, but we just don't have time, or I am so over being in meetings. I can't pull myself. And then it's actually the opposite of what we're trying to do, right? Because mm-hmm. we're trying to promote well-being and take care of people's brains. But if they're miserably clicking into a meeting, that's not good for them either.
Right. They're disengaged right out of the gate.
So that was one piece. And then the other piece that we kept hearing over and over was people who are like, I know that I need to care for me, but it just takes too much time and I don't even know where to start.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time and I don't know where to begin. Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of wrapping our brains around what that could look like. A couple people had thrown out podcasts at us before, but we're like, I just don't know. Mm-hmm. And so we decided that if we intentionally curated a format with a podcast that felt tangible and accessible for people, that mm-hmm. maybe that would work. So the way we launched the podcast, we actually have two sister episodes that come out every time.
Okay.
One is usually around 20-ish minutes, and it's sort of the science-backed, the why behind a particular practice. Mm-hmm. What's happening in your brain, why it's important to take care of your brain, what particularly happens when you use this strategy to kind of help people understand the why behind it.
Right.
And then the follow-up episode is around 10-ish minutes, and it's the practice. Mm-hmm. So with the idea that if we find a practice we like and that works for us, that we can come back to that practice over and over again without having to listen to a full episode to get there. Mm-hmm. So that's how we're going right now. We're always open for feedback and for people to say, like, that's good in theory, but not really working, and switch it up, and then we figure out the next steps.
I love that. Yeah, so you're listening to your audience and what's going on in the world and attuning to that with everything you do. That's so awesome. Yeah. It's so beneficial.
Our whole idea is something you can listen to like on your commute or as you're getting ready in the morning without it feeling like another to-do task, right? Maybe for you, Whitley, that you're like, yes, put it on the to-do list.
Yes, it needs to be added or it won't get done. Yeah.
But for those of us where maybe that's like, it gets kind of shoved to the bottom and shoved to the bottom of that list. It feels a little more accessible is the hope.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, so cool. Well, I wish you the best of luck with that.
Thank you.
Hopefully it grows. Hopefully people can tap into that resource as time progresses. So where are you showcasing this podcast at? YouTube, Spotify, Apple, pretty much
YouTube
everywhere?
YouTube and Spotify for right now. We've had some hiccups with Apple, but that's one we're working on.
Okay. All right. So we'll definitely guide people to find you guys at those two places. Let's see here. Now, I would really like to dig into these results, utilizing the Menti program. You use this at our R3 Summit back in April this past spring. So what is Menti and why do you use it whenever you're presenting to groups?
Yeah. Okay. So Mentimeter or Menti is a digital platform that you can present out of, but it also allows participants to interact in real time, which means I can put a question on a Menti slide and then people can text in or type in their response and get to see other people's on the screen. The reason we love it is it's completely anonymous. And even on the backside for us, we can't trace who said what. It doesn't hold phone numbers. It just says respondent one, respondent two, respondent three.
Okay.
The reason it works so well for what we do is because a lot of times we're asking people to be vulnerable and to open up about some things that may feel a little scary to open up about in a large group of people. A lot of times we're showing up with people at work, and so it may not feel acceptable to do that along with your colleagues.
Right.
But the reason, so we love it for its anonymity, but we also love it because there's so often we walk around in this life and we think that we are the only ones navigating a situation. And what happens is we see on the screen things reflected back to us that we're experiencing that we didn't even put up there. I can't tell you how many times we across different industries, across different fields, whether they're engineers or nurses or mental health professionals or people in the production industry, we get themes of, I don't feel like I'm doing enough. I don't feel like I'm good enough. Grief and loss and navigating that, which is something that, you know, so massively human and connects us to so many people and can feel so isolating and lonely. We get lots of like, everything feels like too much. Like there's just never an end and it's different. We hear things like you're not alone or you matter all the time. And that's great, but it's different when we see it and feel it like, oof, this isn't just me.
Right.
So I cannot put a thing at all on the screen, but I can see myself reflected in that as well, even if I'm not participating in that way. So that's one particular reason we love Menti. As a therapist, I love it because it's kind of like this, what we call the therapeutic container, a safe space to put something down that is contained and protected. And what the beauty about human beings is, in general, people tend to respect that and they hold safety for each other. So people aren't laughing and joking about, you know, the person that said this thing or that thing, but we're holding space for each other, which is really what most people are looking for.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, I found it to be a really neat experience, and getting to look at the results later on and going back over those recently in preparation for this. I found it super interesting that you pulsed our group initially about their stress level. And within the time that you started the presentation to wrapping it up, which I believe to be anywhere between an hour and 20 minutes or so, that the stress reduction had decreased by 32% with our group. That to me is amazing. And what do you feel contributed to that? Like, what practices do you feel like you went over that helped our group have that experience?
Yeah, well, I would love to tell you it's just the magic of Be Well and it's just what we do. but I don't know that that would be completely honest. Yeah. So I think when I think personally, like I do this for a living, mm-hmm. and the last time I just sat for an hour outside of my own therapy mm-hmm. to take care of my mental health.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen very often. So I think when we're talking about caregivers where their whole lives are wrapped up in caring for others, plus whatever other kind of job or duty they are doing,
right.
that pause for an hour or an hour and 20 minutes is like, ooh, and mm-hmm. not just pause to do something else, but pause to like, to check in, like, how am I really doing in this moment? So I think there's that. That's part of it. Mm-hmm. I think as human beings, we are wired to be in connection. And mm-hmm. one of the things that folks responded when we asked it, because we asked the question, what are you hoping for out of today?
Right.
And over again, connection, connection, connection.
Yeah.
Looking for support from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that dedicated time to sit and connect with other human beings mm-hmm. with no agenda outside of like, this is time to just care for us makes a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
And then hopefully some sprinkled in practices as well. There are some things, like I said, that are evidence-based that we do every single time we join with a group.
Mm-hmm.
We always do some kind of mindfulness or breathing exercise.
Mm-hmm.
We intentionally integrated some connection pieces in there, not just connection with each other, but also pausing to connect with ourselves and be in that space as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is a compilation of the evidence-based practices at work and doing what research has shown that they are good mm-hmm. at doing over and over,
mm-hmm.
but then also just giving people the space and time to connect and care for themselves.
Right. Yeah. And I know a lot of people responded to like the music playlist that mm-hmm. you had and wanted that shared out later. And then that butterfly breathing exercise, which I loved and truly like, I feel like it decreased my heart rate because, you know, organizing an event and facilitating it and making sure all the moving parts are in place, it can be stressful.
Yeah.
Because I want everyone to have like the best time to get the most out of the event, to have the best experience. But also I'm that achiever, so mm-hmm. I strive for perfection. So that was a great personal pause for me to get to do that exercise. And it's something that I have routinely done even after this. I will just say, like, walking out in my yard, like especially if I've been working at home and been on the computer for a while, excuse me, and taking a lunch break. And I'm just like, I just need to get outside, get some sunshine. And I have put that breathing exercise on. Not that I was stressed. I just felt like I needed like a refresher.
Yeah.
And so I've found that super beneficial since after. So thank you for sharing that with our group. And
and that's an EMDR tactic for mm-hmm. the butterfly hug, which is all about.
Oh, hug. Sorry.
Yes. Oh,
I said the wrong thing.
You're fine.
Yeah.
You get butterfly hug, butterfly tap. I mean, it's called a lot of different things.
Yeah.
But the whole idea is being able to stimulate both hemispheres of the brain. Mm-hmm. So even like you're talking about, even when I'm not stressed, I can use that. It actually creates balance because mm-hmm. it creates that more fluid connection and conversation and communication between your right and your left hemisphere of mm-hmm. your brain, which when we're like intensely focusing on something, it taxes that cognitive function.
Yeah.
So being able to soothe and tell your nervous system that it's okay and we're good and safe. It's one of the ones I use all the time too.
Yeah. It was super beneficial and will be. I will probably use it on my children as well whenever I feel like they're in the headspace that they could benefit from that. Just, okay, let's have a butterfly tap moment, girls, shall we?
Yep.
You know, because I have two girls and they're growing and, you know, one's fixing to be a teenager. And so there's all the hormones, the middle school thing, you know, and all of that. And it's just, as a mom, I am continuously reading books and trying to think of ways how to help her get through this time. Cause you know, it's tough.
It is.
It's tough, you know, becoming, you know, a teenager, a young lady and a young man in this world today and just going through puberty and all of that comes with that. So anyway, I think it'll be beneficial for me to get to share that with my girls as they're growing up and, you know, dealing with anxiety of school and friends and all the social things that come with that.
Yeah. And all the big feelings too.
Yeah.
I mean, I always swore when I was in grad school, I was like, I will work with any population but teenagers. I just do not want to work with teenagers.
Right.
And then I had one practicum experience where I was in a middle school and a high school. And I was like, okay, these are my people.
Yeah.
Like, this is where I want to be.
Yeah. You thrived in that. That's so neat.
Yeah. It was, I mean, they're just very raw and very, deep into trying to figure out who they are. And that was just sort of a sweet spot that I was just like, okay, I feel like I could be in this with them.
So cool that you were able to connect with them too on a different level. And I feel like too, like it probably helps. Do you have kids that are younger or
younger? I have an 8 and 11 year old. So we're on the brink. We're pre-adolescent.
That is the exact same age of my children. That's crazy. That's so neat. My girls are exactly the same ages. So
yep. And I have two girls as well. So it's
we're
an
like
adventure.
The same person. No. Just kidding.
Yeah.
But yeah, we can definitely relate to each other in that regard. So that's cool. Yeah. That's so neat. Something that I wanted to ask you about was, and I love that you hit on how initially coming in with those Menti results, so many of our people hit on that connection piece, wanting to learn new ideas and discover stress relief practices, which was exactly my goal for what I was hoping that they could get out and that you could deliver on all of that for your presentation. But what I found sad, but also enlightening, was that on average, you had captured that 3.3 out of 5 of our attendees and those participating in the Menti program during the presentation was that they experienced energy depletion, exhaustion, as far as a mental and emotional result. But that also translated on a second capture that you gathered was that roughly the same average were experiencing a change in their eating habits, whether that was an increase or decrease, but also even a higher number were experiencing insomnia.
Yeah.
But then you followed that up with gathering, you know, what personal best practices that they do that help them directly. But I'd love to hear some of your tips on how our people or those, you know, following this podcast might have the ability to aid in that anxiety, exhaustion, and aiding in insomnia. Do you have any best practices or any tools or resources that you could share to help with those three things?
Yeah. So first, I think it's important to recognize that when we're under, because that was an assessment of burnout, right? And we kind of give the top level symptoms that somebody might experience in burnout and ask the participants to kind of put where they are. When we experience things like burnout or chronic stress or overwhelm, it's not just our brain that's affected. It's our body. Our body goes into survival states, which means like our eating patterns might change that we may, and it's insomnia, but can it also be the oversleeping? So because we are just emotionally exhausted and depleted, we can sleep for 10 hours and still not feel rested.
Right.
Those things impact not just our brain, but also our body. And so when you think about stress and burnout, a little bit of stress actually is really helpful for us in our day to day. Those short bursts of stress help us perform better. They help us show up and be vigilant and be kind of the best version of ourselves. If we think about, if you've ever been in any kind of athletics or in theater or any kind of performance, or maybe even with this podcast, there's a little bit of that nervousness that happens, but it actually makes us more alert.
Right.
It's when we have that chronic stress where there's no breaks, where it's unmitigated. That is where it becomes detrimental and actually can be significantly harmful to our physical health and our mental health. So when we think about things like insomnia, eating habits, and like that mental, emotional exhaustion, the best tip that I can give is like the big blocks of time are beautiful when we can find them. I am a mom of two. I also work full time and my littles are active in 1,000 different things. And so finding a whole weekend where there's nothing going on or few and far between, even having evenings that are off and just completely ours do not happen very often. And so, or there's something, somebody's trying to get homework done or something going on. Mm-hmm. So finding little bite-sized moments to care for your brain, mm-hmm. whether that be that stepping outside for 5 minutes and doing a butterfly hug.
Yeah.
Or I think I even gave this example. I get sensory overloaded a lot mm-hmm. where like I just can't take in one more thing. It feels like too much coming at me. And I'll go in my closet and turn the lights off and sit on the floor and just take a few deep breaths mm-hmm. in the dark and the quiet for as long as my family will allow it to happen.
Right. Hey, yep. Mom.
Exactly. So I think the biggest thing is building in bite size and finding things that work for us. Mm-hmm. So I can give 1,000 different recommendations, mm-hmm. but the truth is some will fit for you and some of them won't.
Right.
When it comes to sleep, I'm a really big proponent on setting the stage for sleep. Mm-hmm. So, and I used to talk, especially when I was working with teenagers, I used to talk with their grownups about this a lot.
Okay.
So pulling technology out of the bedroom. Mm-hmm. If you, depending on what your bedtime routine looks like, when you go to the bathroom, go ahead and turn off the lights in your bedroom mm-hmm. while you're brushing your teeth or brushing your hair, things like that. Mm-hmm. If you sleep with a fan on, get the fan set. Almost like if you ever been to a spa or a relaxing space, how mm-hmm. you walk in and you're like, oh, like I know I'm here.
You're already calming.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You can set the stage in your bedroom the same way so that you have the low lighting, you have the fans on, mm-hmm. even a diffuser going mm-hmm. can help kind of signal to your brain that it's time for bed.
Yeah. That REM cycle.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of set that right. Mm-hmm. The other thing with sleep is, and these are not foolproof. There's mm-hmm. still going to be moments like if we have a high moment of anxiety where we may still be laying in bed, staring at the ceiling, mm-hmm. just trying to will ourselves to sleep mm-hmm. and it's not coming.
Yeah.
But making sure you're getting a little bit of light during the day helps set the circadian rhythms in our brain.
Yeah.
When we are holed up in a hole, and I have an office without any natural light. Oh. So I have to make a conscious effort to get out, to step outside. Mm-hmm. So my brain can still see it's daytime. Right. It's not time to start winding down mm-hmm. yet. And then similarly, before bed, letting yourself and your brain see that it's night out, and then mm-hmm. it kind of sets those circadian rhythms in the right direction.
Yeah.
So those are just like a few tips and tricks. Yeah, again,
those are excellent.
Yeah. There'll be times where you're still staring at, if I really have thoughts kind of rolling around in my brain that are stuck and won't get out, I do stream of conscious writing or like a thought dump. Uh-huh. So I get out a piece of paper or a journal and I just write whatever is in my mind.
Okay.
They're not complete sentences. Sometimes they're not even logical thoughts or complete thoughts. Yeah. It's just whatever is popping into my brain. Right. Until
offload.
Yep. Until it's not there anymore. Mm-hmm. And that can sometimes help get whatever I'm just like holding on to out of my head, and I can close it and be like, okay, that'll be there tomorrow. I don't have to hold on to it mm-hmm. today. Mm-hmm. So those are some sleep tips and tricks that people can do. When it comes, I'll do the exhaustion piece last, I think. When it comes to eating mm-hmm. and when we're stuck in these patterns of burnout, and sometimes like we are so burned out that the little micro moments take a long time to start working because mm-hmm. we are just so far. It's kind of like if you imagine that your cell phone, you can charge it at 50%. And at least to me, it feels like it charges way faster when it's at 50%. Yeah. Versus when it's completely dead and you get the little battery with the red line across and it's like, mm-hmm. and you have to wait, you know, a good 20 minutes before it'll even turn back on. Mm-hmm. Our brains are similar. So if we are on complete empty, it's going to take a while to catch up.
Yeah.
But we can then engage in the preventative little bite sizes mm-hmm. with food. Food is a tricky one, and I am by no means an eating or a recovery food expert in our field. But what I would say is, for me personally, I usually forget to eat. Like I'm so mm-hmm. stressed out that I'm just pushing mm-hmm. it, pushing, and then it's 4 o'clock, and I'm like, I have not ate a thing today.
Yeah,
because I just I'm like in that going mode. Mm-hmm. Having healthy snacks, like in my kids have helped me with that because I've constantly got snacks in my purse mm-hmm. because they're
hungry all the time. Yep.
All the time.
Right there with you, sister.
So having some healthy snacks in my purse or in my bag, my work bag, I think I've got some snacks, is helpful.
Yeah.
And then making sure that just allowing yourself to have some things that are easy to grab mm-hmm. that are healthy choices. Mm-hmm. For me personally, if there is the choice between, if I have a choice between an apple and a bag of chips and I'm stressed, I'm going for the chips because that's what's available.
Right.
So I kind of know that about myself and will make accommodations accordingly.
Right.
It's also important to give ourselves all the grace, like just understanding that we are human beings trying to survive. Because it's easy to then either forget to eat or overeat and then have a lot of guilt and shame about the fact that we have done one of those things and kind of layer it on. And then it really disrupts our relationship with food on top of all the stress that we're going through.
Not like we need to add anything to that plate.
And then as always, if we feel like our eating patterns have gotten to the point where it's disrupting the way we're living or is creating health problems for ourselves, going to a professional is always my recommended. Somebody who can help with eating disorders or with eating pattern issues is kind of the best way to go if we feel like it's gotten to a point where it's out of our control or we're struggling to interrupting our daily function is really kind of that path there.
Okay. Yeah. Those are great tips.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
The last one is exhaustion, which I think you had talked about the depletion and the mental, emotional exhaustion. That one can get tricky. That actually we just on the podcast just talked about rest. There is a woman named Dr. Sandra Dalton who created this theory that there are actually seven different kinds of rest. Because I don't know about you, but there are moments where I will sleep a good 8 hours and I wake up still feeling exhausted.
Yeah, been there.
It could be because I'm burned out. It could also be because I'm not getting the right kind of rest. So she breaks it down into things like social rest, mental rest, sensory rest, and breaks it into all of these things. And it's about showing up for yourself and giving yourself the right rest. So for me, my closet on the floor is sensory rest.
Yeah.
My partner, he loves socializing and loves people, but unlike me, that charges my battery, it drains his. And so, you know, there are some things we can't say no to, like when the holidays roll around, there's always tons of obligations. And so after time, we've kind of established, okay, so if we have one family gathering, he needs like a day before and a day after to recoup and rest. He needs a social rest before going to the next thing. So if at all possible, we try to break things up so that he's getting that social rest. Because otherwise, he's drained and not present and and just not enjoying it, not getting out of it what he's hoping to get out of it.
Super beneficial. I'll have to check more of her stuff out. That's really good. What would you say is your biggest takeaway or what you found to be like a trend with our Mentee results as an organization compared to other agencies? Similar differences? What's your take on our results, if anything?
Well, your 32% reduction is kind of right in that range. We see, we generally see between about a 30 to 42% reduction in across industries and in different fields. The connection. And like I said, when we ask, we always ask the question, what are you carrying? Like kind of what's on your heart? What are you showing up with? Because that matters. And grief, loss, family complications, if not feeling enough, feeling like the to-do list never ends, the not good enough, all of those things are pretty common. No matter who we're meeting. And so I would say probably pretty on par with the where we are just as human beings. You know, humaning is beautiful and chaotic and hard and messy. And we love, especially with social media, we love to show all the shiny sides. And I think just having people just need spaces to be their full selves.
Safe places, definitely.
Yeah.
Wonderful. I love it. What would be your words of wisdom or hope for our people that are really service-hearted driven as an agency and those our caregivers, our team? What would you say?
Yeah, same. Like it's really easy as caregivers and people who are natural nurturers to make sure all your people are okay mm-hmm. before we pause mm-hmm. and check on ourselves. And personally, I tend to do that even as a distraction strategy, like, ooh, I don't have to deal with what's going in between the 18 inches between my head and heart if I'm checking on everybody yeah. else to make yeah. sure they're okay. Mm-hmm. And we can only give what we have. So mm-hmm. if we are completely drained,
yeah.
I'm not being my most loving, caring self mm-hmm. to the people that I want to be that with, yeah. to my family, to the people I'm caring for in the community, to my team, to anybody that is close to my best friend. Like, I can't show up for them as the best version of myself if yeah. I'm also not taking care of me.
Yeah.
And I think as caregivers, a lot of times internally or externally, we get these messages that if we pause to care for us, it's selfish.
Yeah.
That's time that I could be pouring into somebody else.
Yeah.
But my question would be, what is the quality that you're pouring into somebody mm-hmm. if you just keep pushing through? We kind of joke around about being like push throughers. If we keep just shoving through, we're not, when I'm irritable, I'm not the best mom. And mm-hmm. usually then I like throw on some shame and guilt on,
yep.
well, great. Now I snapped at them and yeah. that wasn't helpful. And
so relate to that.
Yeah. And it's human, you know, yeah. it's part of being human. Yeah. When I was doing therapy with kids, I used to tell parents all the time, like, I'll tell you what the research and the science says. And then you need to know, as a mom, I do this about 30% of the time mm-hmm. because I'm emotionally invested and it's just different right. with my own yeah. kids.
You're
right?
as much as a student of your work as yeah. you are a teacher of it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think giving ourselves for any caregivers, no matter mm-hmm. what that looks like for mm-hmm. us, whether it's for children, for old aging parents, for being housing support and foster placement. Yep. Or being in an industry where we are caring for people. That's kind of how we are. Mm-hmm. We step into these spaces, not because it's highly lucrative. We right. do it because
yeah.
we do it because we care deeply and yeah. we love people. Mm-hmm. And so I think that in order to do and to be continue to show up and step into your why, mm-hmm. you have to care for you first.
Yeah.
Otherwise it's just kind of hollow.
Yeah. Beautiful. I love all of that. So helpful, so relatable, right on point with our caregivers, our team, because it's a service industry. So I just so appreciate everything you shared today. I hope that everyone that follows us will start listening and watching mm-hmm. on YouTube, if nothing else, the Brain Health Besties podcast and other agencies that are service, you know, hearted. Similar to what we do. Hopefully they'll connect with Be Well Initiatives and have you guys out for a session because I just feel like it was super relatable, super beneficial for mental health and this crazy world that we live in. Anything like that is helpful. And yeah, always coming back to knowing that we have to pour back into ourselves at some point so we can give more and bigger.
Yeah.
For the people around us.
Don't let your battery go to zero.
Yeah.
You're not serving anybody at that point.
Exactly. Kind of like my fuel tank. My husband was like, you know, and my father even said growing up, don't let it get below 50%, yep. you know, because it's harder on your fuel tank. And I've been guilty of doing that. And I get in trouble if my husband gets in the car and like, why did you let it get this low? I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, I'm busy. But, you know, it's the same with us as people and yeah. our stress level and mental wellness. We've got to at least look at 50% recharging.
Yep.
Wow, and such so, a good analogy.
Yeah. What do I need in this moment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us and yeah. being here today. I really appreciate you.
Yeah. Thank you, Whitley. Appreciate all the work that y'all are doing in this community too.
Thank you.